Republicans swept almost all of the country's most closely contested races last night and ended the midterm elections with a new Senate majority, a bigger majority in the House, at least 31 successful governor races with a few yet to be called.
Republican success was widely predicted, but not to the degree seen last night. We discussed previously on Central Time the possibility that a Senate majority might not be decided until the weeks after the elections, but that's clearly not the case now. Republicans flipped at least 7 Senate seats, although they only needed to take 6 to become a majority.
Maybe it's too soon to say, but now officially begins the 2016 campaign. Paul Singer joins us every week to give us a behind-the-scenes look at Congress. He joins us now. Paul, I imagine you're a little short on sleep, but thanks for joining us.
No problem, Rob. Talking keeps me awake.
So how did last night's results compare with what we were expecting?
Well, it was a stronger performance, I think, across the board for Republicans than we were expecting. We expected these races to be close. In many cases, they were not close. Republicans outperformed the polls in state after state, even in places where Democrats won or appear to have won, like in Virginia. Senator Mark Warner, it was stunning how close that race was. For most of the night, challenger Ed Gillespie, who nobody expected to win, was leading in the tally. So it was a wave. It was a Republican wave. The thought was they might win a little, but they won a lot.
So what are people pointing to as key factors that basically shifted every prediction one column over in this race?
Yeah, well, exactly. Obama, I think, is the biggest. If you look at the way the races were run, by and large, Democrats were trying to run away from Obama and talk about state-based issues. Republicans are trying to talk about Obama and national issues, and that appears to have really trumped. The Republican voters were very mobilized, very motivated to get out and vote against Obama. The Democrats were not particularly mobilized and motivated to get out and vote for the people who will support Obama, and the independents all appear to be breaking towards the Republicans. I think the president was the biggest factor in this race.
And there was a lot of talk from the media and from Republicans saying, oh, Obama's hiding, they're not putting him out there on the campaign trail. I know the second guessing begins now. Has there been thinking from Democrats yet, like, well, we lost anyway, we might as well have had Obama front and center?
You know, what the interesting thing I've seen is from some of the progressive slash liberal groups who are saying that what we should have done, the Democrats should have done, is run a more unabashedly and unapologetically liberal campaign. They should have embraced economic populism of Elizabeth Warren. They should have embraced Obamacare. They should have embraced, some of the things that a lot of the centrist Democrats were unwilling to talk about on the campaign trail. So, sure, second-guessing shall go on. I mean, I think the problem is, you're at a 40% approval rating for the president. That just hurts.
Now, this race isn't quite over. Louisiana still going on. You have to get over 50% to conclusively win. So they've got a runoff. What happens there now?
They'll have a runoff in December, first week of December. By all accounts, Mary Landrieu, the incumbent Democrat, had her best shot to win if she could get a lot of people to the polls yesterday and split, because at the moment there was 2 Republicans on the ballot, so she could split their vote and she might be able to win. She didn't get 50%. That means they go to a runoff with just the top two, that is her and Bill Cassidy, the Republican. By all accounts, Cassidy is far, far favored to win that race, and the Republicans will pick up another seat.
So big winners in the Republican Party now. Obviously, I guess Mitch McConnell has to be toward the top of that list. Not only did he win re-election by a bigger margin than people were predicting, he appears likely to be the Senate Majority Leader, one of his dreams throughout his career.
Yep, totally. I mean, Mitch McConnell just held a press conference where he looked like the cat who swallowed the canary. He was obviously very pleased, and he will be the Senate Majority Leader. And he was very measured in his remarks, and he's not talking about, ramming things down the president's throat just yet. He's talking about getting some stuff done, looking for places of agreement, and focusing particularly on reforming the procedures of the Senate to have more votes and have more open process, which is kind of interesting for those of us who are inside baseball kind of people.
Why is that interesting? Bring it outside.
Yeah, I mean, well, the whole deal is, and it is true, the way Congress now functions, particularly the Senate now functions, the majority leader, Harry Reid in this case, decides they want to have a bill. The only way to get the bill moving and to avoid a filibuster is to just basically block all amendments, block all votes except one. There's one filibuster vote and one, and assuming that passes, there's one yes or no vote. That's it. The committees don't matter much. The amendment process no longer really happens. The appropriations bills don't get approved in the committees. None of the normal order of Congress actually takes place. That is what Mitch McConnell says he wants to reform. However, I will tell you that the reason that happens is because, as a majority leader, the Senate is really unwieldy if you let everybody talk.
So how are things going to work now? You said McConnell said there might be a few things we can pass that maybe President Obama will sign. What kind of issues can they agree on maybe quickly next year?
Well, the Republicans and Obama actually agree on opening up some new trade deals, international trade deals. The biggest hurdle to that has been Democrats. They don't like them by and large, particularly because the unions don't like them very much, and the environmentalists don't really like them. So that's one that I think Obama could easily sit down with the Republicans and work out a deal. You might also have some deals on minor revisions to corporate taxes. You might even actually have some reforms and revisions to Obamacare. Obama said he would not, he said in his press conference that he will not allow a repeal of the law. But he did not say he is closed to any revisions or reforms. And Mitch McConnell said basically the same thing. A total repeal will never pass. But that doesn't mean there's nothing we could do. Maybe they can find some stuff to work on.
One idea I've seen floated is that maybe with Republicans in control of both houses, gridlock could go down. There are fewer parties. It might be easier to get a unified message coming out of Congress and thus easier to negotiate between the White House and Congress. Does that seem plausible?
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I think what ends up happening is that instead of having a roadblock between the House and the Senate that prevents things from getting to the president, now you have the roadblock basically between the Congress and the White House. The roadblock becomes the president's desk. I think what that means is that more Republican ideas will pass, because simply because more of them will get to the president's desk, and there's only so many he can say no to. Sooner or later, he's going to have to say yes. So, yeah, some stuff will move. Now, of course, the issue will be whether the Republicans can keep their own flock in line. Today, Mitch McConnell said, we will not shut down the government. We will not threaten the credit of the United States by blocking a debt ceiling increase. Those views might be a little bit controversial in his own caucus.
Now let's turn to two words, 20 and 16. There's talk here after the Wisconsin elections about where Governor Walker might go, whether he might run. You had pointed in the USA Today in a video online that Republicans after this election were quickly pivoting to critique Hillary Clinton. Talk about that.
It was really funny. I mean, Rand Paul tweeted a series of Hillary losers pictures, that is pictures of Hillary Clinton standing with Democratic candidates who lost. The Republican Party put out a press release this morning talking about how this race was a rebuke of the Hillary Clinton agenda. Starting today, the Republican Party is focused less on Barack Obama and more on Hillary Clinton, because they think she's the most likely to be the Democratic presidential candidate, and they're going to start tackling her now.
A big name on the Republican side who was going state to state was New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. A lot of the candidates he backed won. Is there talk about him now in 2016?
Yeah, totally. I mean, a good night for Chris Christie. You know, if his job as the head of the Republican Governors Association was to protect and prop up endangered Republican governors like Scott Walker, like Rick Scott in Florida. And by the way, if you're going to run for president in 2016, not a bad thing to make friends and raise money in places like Wisconsin and Florida. I think Christie has clearly strengthened his hand for a possible 2016 run. He's a winner.
briefly as we wrap up, Paul, in 2008, big Democratic wins. People thought Republicans were out for a long time. They came back in 2010. There's talk of what's wrong with the Democrats. And so back and forth, back and forth. Is there anything about this election that makes you think Republicans are up, Democrats are down for a longer term this time?
No. But in fact, in 2016, the playing field favors Democrats significantly because a lot of the seats that are up are Republicans in Democratic states. So I think the House is more interesting and more sort of locked in. Wouldn't be surprised if Republicans have the majority there for a while. But then again, you know, a giant Democratic wave with a really successful presidential candidate might repeat the Obama successes of 2008. Everything turns on its head.
Well, I look forward to that conversation with you in 2 years, Paul, and to another one next week, looking in the shorter horizon.
But first, I'm going to go take a nap.
All right. Get some sleep. That was USA Today politics editor Paul Singer. We've been talking election results, but he joins us every week at this time to give an inside look at what's going on in Congress.